you can't write them to color with. So raise your hand if you don't have something to write with.
My film! Anybody
I got something for you guys. Anybody else not have something to write with?
I have a pen.
Okay, good.
So, I got a pen for you, for you, Nolan.
I want a pen.
And then, this will work for you. This will work for you. And it is helpful to have something to write. It is helpful to have something to write on, like a hymn book. Just try not to draw on the
Who's the next one?
All right, and then you guys take one and pass it down to your right. And turn in your Bibles to John chapter 20. Excuse me, chapter 21. John chapter 21. And I have, so I'm gonna, we're gonna go through a story about how Jesus revealed himself to the disciples after he was risen from the dead. And this isn't the first time that he's revealed himself to the disciples after he rose from the dead. But we're going to, I want you to listen closely as we go through this story because I'm going to ask some questions. Those extra. Thank you. I'm going to ask you some questions and, afterwards, I have a treat for you guys. This is going to be good. And we've been talking a little bit about faith today. It's been referred to a couple times. And when we open our Bibles or listen to the Word of God or even start a new day, it is a new opportunity to know the Lord better, isn't it? You get to know someone better the more time you spend with them. And that's what the disciples were doing with Jesus. When Jesus called them, they didn't know much about him, but they spent 3 years with him. Who can raise their hand and tell me how many disciples Jesus had called? Yes. Good guess. There was more than two. That was 12 disciples, yes, that's right. So they got to know him pretty well after 3 years. And they spent pretty much all the time with him. They probably saw Jesus every single day of their lives. Do you think you would get to know somebody if you spent every day with someone for 3 whole years? Right? You sure would. But there was a lot of things that happened throughout Jesus' life and the disciples' lives. It's some really exciting, happy times. There was some really hard, sad times, and then some average times. And so in this story, this is a story of the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he rose from the dead. And on your papers, you'll see that there's three numbers there, and what I would like you to do is think about three things you notice about God in this story that are meaningful to you. And write down, as we go through this in the next half hour, three things that are meaningful to you, that you learned about God. And if it's something you already knew, but it's meaningful to you, write it down. And if you can't write because you're too little, then you can just draw a picture of something that's meaningful to you, that you think is special, important. And then at the end, I'll have some bonus questions. And then at the very bottom of your paper, you'll want to listen carefully because I'm going to, at the end, fill in the blanks for you, and you're going to want to write that down. So let's read. Did everyone find John chapter 21 in your Bible? Do you have one? Okay. So let's read that together. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Manifested just means he showed himself to them. And he showed himself in this way. Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples were together. Simon said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We will also come with you." They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. And I have some pictures up here too as we go through this. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, "Children, you didn't catch any fish, did you?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch." So they cast, and then they were not able to haul in all of the fish because of the great number. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." So on my pictures here, this is the disciple who Jesus loved. Do you know, we're reading in the book of John. Did you know that John actually doesn't refer to himself by name? He calls himself the disciple who Jesus loved. Because John thought it was really a big deal that Jesus loved him. And so this is John, that's Peter, and he said, "It is the Lord." I'm reading in the middle of verse 7 now. So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment that he had taken off because of having to do the work and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it in bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples ventured to question him, "Who are you?" because they already knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So that's the end of the Bible passage. And so you can kind of see a picture here. I'll go back to the beginning now and kind of go through this, because there were some things that really stood out. And I have some main points that I want you guys to think about. You don't have to write these on your paper, but these are things that meant a lot to me when I read this. Number one, that Jesus was working in the disciples' lives. And to apply this to ourselves, wouldn't it be exciting to see Jesus work in our lives? Let me ask you, when was the last time you saw God provide something or help you or your family in your life? Have you noticed that ever? It could be a really big way, it could be a small way. Has anyone noticed God provide for them or their family? You guys are busy writing. Have you noticed a time you want to share? Say again? That were Christians. So what did God provide for you and your family that way? That you can get saved. So, yep, God provided a way to be saved. That's a good one. Yes?
And you
That we live, move, and have our being. Yep. That's right. So he's saying that just waking up and getting to be alive and move around and be a person, that's God. That's because of God. You have one? How did God provide for you, Jody, or your family? What did God do for you? What'd you say?
Give me a nice dad.
Give me a nice dad. Oh, that's cute. So God gave you your mom and dad, right?
Daddy.
That's God providing for you. Putting somebody in your life that means a lot to you, who helps you. You can thank God for that. Anybody else think of can you think of a time that God provided for you? What do you got there? People mentioned the people in their lives. So how often do we thank God for the people he's put in our lives, right? Stop and think. This is good. Because this story here, let's pay attention also to see what the Lord Jesus did for them and apply that to our lives. One thing that I saw in this story too is that Jesus loved and cared about his disciples. He loved them and cared about them to even show up in their lives a few times after he rose from the dead. He knows our situation. He cares about it. He wants to be involved in our lives, and he goes out of his way to show himself to us and invites us to be with him. When the disciples were out fishing, Jesus came and found them. He came to them and found them and shouted out to them on the shore. Have you ever thought about how nice it is that God reaches out to us first? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Before we asked God to die for us, he went ahead and did it, right? It's really important to have him be part of our lives. And he has taken the first step in that. He made the first move. We have an invitation from him. Remember how he invited them to come and have the fish and the bread? you like to get a letter in the mail? You like to be invited to a friend's house? God is a very good friend, and he's taken an interest in each one of you. And even though he notices that you have, and me too, have made mistakes, right? He knows about that. He's seen us sin. And that doesn't escape his notice. But he still, that hasn't made him change his mind about you. Even though you've made mistakes, that hasn't made him decide he's tired of putting up with you and me. He still wants us to be with him. That's a big deal. That's a really good friend, isn't it? A friend that doesn't decide after one problem that they're tired of putting up with you and me. I think that tells us something about God, doesn't it? He's still interested in you, and he wants to show you even more grace than he already has. Isn't that terrific? He wants to even do more nice things than he's already done for us. He wants to have a relationship with you too. A couple of scriptures say, in him was life. This is at the beginning of John. And the life was the light of men. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. So there was seven disciples fishing. I don't know where the rest were, but there was actually seven of them here for this third appearing. And the Lord knew that things weren't going so well for them. They were fishing all night and hadn't caught anything. So they were maybe cold, hungry, tired, and probably a little discouraged. It can be discouraging when you're casting the net, pulling it in, no fish. Maybe even catching seaweed and other junk, but no fish. And so Jesus was going to change that. He was paying attention to what was going on. One thing, kids, there are so many people in this world and so much going on in every single one of their lives. Jesus, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, God cares about what is going on in your life. He cares when things aren't going well for you. That matters to him. He cares when you're feeling sad about something. He cares when you're angry about something. And he also cares when you're really happy. That matters to him. And when Jesus helped them catch all these fish, he wanted to do something nice for them, and he did. Look who was paying attention what was going on. These guys noticed that it wasn't just a coincidence. They didn't say, they didn't just forget about the guy on the shore. As soon as John noticed that Jesus had helped them catch a ton of fish, they went from fishing all night and catching nothing to a huge catch. They were even kind of surprised that their nets didn't break, that they were such big and plentiful fish that they caught. They noticed, John said, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. And what did Peter do after he noticed that it was the Lord? Who was listening? Right, what did he do? He jumped out of the boat. And this guy maybe was hoping that Peter would kind of help him pull the fish into the boat. But he was too excited. So one lesson that one thing that matters, I think can matter to us and we can apply to our lives here is that sometimes things that seem really exciting for us, like catching a whole bunch of fish, to Peter, Jesus meant a lot more to him than catching a bunch of fish. And so he was so excited to go see Jesus, he didn't even want to wait for the boat to get back to shore. So the relationship that Jesus had with Peter was good, and he knew what he wanted to do, and it wasn't pull all those fish into the boat. And I don't think it was because he was lazy. I think it was because he was so excited to see Jesus. And before Jesus spent all those 3 years with his disciples, and then at the very end, they kind of let him down, didn't they? They got scared, and it was a very scary thing because soldiers came, it was dark, they took Jesus, bound him up, and things were getting really bad. And his disciples let him down, Peter let him down, and so, but Jesus was still in their lives, wasn't he? He didn't just die, raised from the dead, and say, I'm done with this. He had finished his work. He had finished his work, but he wasn't done working with the disciples. He still cared for them. And I want you guys to remember that, because there are times in your life where maybe you didn't have such a good day. Maybe you started the day thinking that you were going to be kind to people, that you were going to use your time wisely, you were going to take care of things that your parents wanted you to do, but maybe it didn't go that way. Maybe it was a bad day. So it's good to confess that to the Lord when we make mistakes and when we know we've let Him down, but don't fall into the trap that one of the disciples did. Judas, when he let the Lord down, he didn't come back to him. He didn't come back to the Lord and confess it and seek the Lord's forgiveness. But the Lord came back, so he made a bad decision. But the other disciples, the Lord came to them, and they sat down with him. They had breakfast. They talked with him. And that's because he's a good God, and he's patient with us. And so don't ever think that God will give up on you, okay? God does not do that. He does not give up on his children. And so it's good to see that Peter still, after he let the Lord down, that he wanted to go and be by him again. And so see how the Lord helped him with them with the fish. He was serving his disciples. Remember how he washed their feet that night before he went to go to the cross? He washed their feet. So in your lives, I want you to look to the Lord. Look for him to show up in your life. Just like John here. Look for the Lord to show up in your life. When you see something that you think is the mercy of God and kindness from God, God being good to you, a gift, look for him, go meet with him, and just talk to him. You can talk to Jesus anytime. God is a father, and so you can go to him anytime, and you can tell him that you notice these things, that you notice he's been good to you. Just like he invited the disciples to come and sit down and have a meal with them, and how he served them, he will meet with you, and you can experience him in your life as well. And it's not always going to be dramatic, but that is how you will increase your faith. Is when you look for him in your life and see how good he is to you and how good he has been to you. Tell him thank you for those things. And just like the disciples came to shore, do you ever stop and think when you come to the church meeting, like, what are we doing here? Why did I come here today? I've done that, and it's been very helpful. Why did I get my things together, take care of myself? Why did I show up here and to see these people today? One answer, so and you might have different answers, but one thing is that I've said to myself is, well, God has been very good to me, and I love him, and so I want to meet with God, and I want to meet with other people who also feel the same way, who love and appreciate him. Another thing is, I want to know him better, so I'm going to do things, I'm going to put myself in a place where I can get to know God better, where other people who want to get to know him better are, so that we can encourage each other. And as you make choices like that in life, you guys, you will get to know him better, and he will show himself to you more. That's a promise that he'll do. You draw near to him, he will draw near to you. And if you're ever hesitant, remember how much he loves you and how he worked with his disciples after they had let him down, after his work was done. He was going to go to heaven, but first he wanted to go see his disciples. He wanted to help them more and get more to share with them. My final thoughts are that Jesus has invited you into a relationship with him. He is so awesome and great and holy, but he isn't too busy or too great to care about a kid like you. We need that. Each and every one of us needs that. Us adults too, just as much as you kids. Psalm 27, verse 13 says, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. And at the very end of Matthew, he says, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So I hope that just going through the story and kind of putting some pictures to it and applying that to our own lives, I hope that you guys are more eager to know Jesus a little better and to trust him a little more than when we woke up this morning. So I have some questions here. And but lastly, the final thing on your... put the rest of those in notes. The bottom one. Ready? God cares about, and then you can write me. Yeah. God cares about me. Some of you guys took guesses. What did you write? God cares about us? Yeah, that's the same thing. What did you write?
I didn't write it down,
but God cares about you? Yeah, so you guys are both right.
God cares about our life.
Yep, good. So that wasn't too hard to figure out, but don't overlook those simple things, you guys. It's not rocket science. Not everything is rocket science. So start with the fundamentals. God loves you. Start your day remembering that every single day. Okay? So our questions. Let's see. I'm just looking at our kids' ages. Younger kids, so Logan, Erica, Eli, Ian. This one's for you guys. Was this before or after the story? Was this before or after Jesus died on the cross? And Lucas, yeah, you're part of this too. After. It was after he died on the cross, right? There's a lot of fishing stories in the Bible, isn't there? There's a lot of fishing
stories. The one where God said, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men.
Yeah, that was at the very beginning. Jesus' relationship with these disciples, a lot of them started out right on fishing, by fishing boats and nets and everything. And this is all the way at the end. So this was after Jesus died on the cross. Okay, one more for you guys. younger ones, who pointed out that it was not just any person on the shore, but that it was actually the Lord Jesus? John, you are right. Good listening. Alright, here's a harder question. It's not the most important, but just for fun. Who remembers how far the boat was away from shore? Some things.
112 feet.
Yards. Good yards. That's what my Bible says. I don't think they had yards back then. Probably a few minutes or something. Good listening. So yeah, you guys remembered well. Okay. So that's all I have. And I guess one last question. What did they eat? Fish, and there was one other thing too. Remember the other thing?
Bread.
And bread, yep. Well, did anyone notice that Jesus already had fish and bread cooking before they even got to the shore of the
river?
Yes. I don't remember it again. You don't know. But I have actually both for you guys here. I have fish and bread. The shape of a fish, consistency of bread. So each of
Looks,
you guys.
You should have done that for the story where they brought the money from the fish. The gold.
I got a net.
Daddy. You got what?
I got a net.
Give me. I have a plate and everything. Give me here.
Oh.
You should have done this for a
different. I actually thought about bringing props, but I don't have them.
You should have told everybody not to bring breakfast. Give me.
Don't do that.
Money inside.
And that
may be
expensive
because it's golden.
Have we eat gold?
Yeah, we even have gold.